Hey, how's it going tonight, George?
Very good. Good night tonight.
All right. Well, it's funny how things tie together, isn't it? All those coincidences, because I related with both of those things the lady said about bathrooms. When I was a little kid and it was night, the bathroom was the scary place, and I had to get in and turn on the light before anything could grab me. Once the light was on, it was okay.
You were okay, right.
And I wasn't worried about anything getting me on the bed, but I remember one time waking up with my arm hanging off down the side of the bed where the witch under the bed could have grabbed me, you know. And when I got out of bed, I jumped as far as I could from the bed to get away from whatever was under it.
I got to confess that if my arm ever dangles over the side of the bed, I have to bring it back up. I mean, it just, I'm not going to keep it there for a long time. Now, I know darn well that there's nothing under my bed, but I just, for some reason, kind of like move it back up.
Well, I moved mine a little bit quicker than that. Well, my scared of the dark story isn't exactly about me. But it's probably about why I figure my babysitter's been scared of the dark ever since then, the rest of her life. I always used to bug her all the time about being scared. There's somebody in my closet. I saw him in my closet, you know, and I'm scared.
And then you'd leave.
Well, no, this is when she'd be putting me to bed, and she'd have to go open the closet and go through everything, you know, and show me there was nothing in the closet, you know, and I'd call her back and say, I saw something. I'd worked on her like this for a couple of weeks.
So you were just making it all up?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And until the night, for 8-year-old kid, I rigged up one heck of a good dummy. Stuffed the shirt sleeves with other clothes and the pants and everything, but the real good trick was I undid some wire coat hangers so that when she opened the door, the dummy came forward a little bit and the arms raised up high.
How many times did you test that to make sure it worked?
Oh, I worked on that all day. And I only got to use it once. I don't think she stopped until she hit the front yard. And never had that babysitter again.
Now, how did you set it up? And so, well, you know, this thing's in the closet.
Right. I'd turned one of the coat hangers sideways so it was facing towards it and hung a shirt on that and stuffed it full of T-shirts and everything, you know, so it was full of stuff. And used some clothespins to hook some pants onto it and stuffed them so they looked real. But I had run some undone wire coat hangers from the coat hanger that was holding the shirt down the sleeves and out towards the door where I had them tied up to a coat hook up near the top of the door. So this time when I called her in, you know, I'm scared. I saw something in the closet, and she was like fed up with it by then, you know. She went over and yanked open the door, and this dummy come forward and raised its arms up above her head.
That's a great bit.
Oh, yeah. I was good at stuff like that. My sister was easy. I could be walking. I'd start to walk into a room. I'd get like one step into the room, and I'd look over at the window, and I'd go, "Oh, the window!" And she would never even look at the window. She'd just be like running right over top of me, screaming.
I bet you still do stuff like that.
Oh, not George.
You do.
I'll tell you this. I got hauled to I guess it was a seminar amongst the three supposedly famous psychics. I wasn't into it then, didn't know their names or anything. But everybody was asking them questions, and it seemed to me like it's, you know, the fortune tellers at nightclubs and stuff. They give away the answer and the question. So finally they called on me. I raised my hand, and I stood up, and I said, "What can y'all tell me about me?" And that was all I said. And one of them immediately answered, "You were a bad kid." And the other one, right on top of her, said, "No, rotten." Making a big move and moving from the East Coast out to Hawaii. And I didn't know, you know, whether it was a good idea quitting my job and retiring at 46 and all this kind of stuff. And they all agreed that it didn't matter what I did. Whatever I did was going to work out just fine.
Good for you.
Well, I came here with a $500,000 portfolio that was spinning off about $80,000 a year in interest and dividends. Got a little two-bedroom house on the beach in Lahaina, and right on the beach and everything. and hurt my back. I went to work in a bookstore just for part-time for something to do.
Just to keep busy, yeah.
Yeah, and I love books. I'm a certified librarian. I read voraciously. This had a real young girl as a manager, and the only thing she knew was teamwork. Everybody has to do everything.
Sure.
I said, well, you know, hey, I'm in my 50s. You want somebody to, you know, unpack trucks and stuff, go get a high school kid on the wrestling team. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I had to do it, too. Well, I was shifting a case of hardback books once, and it's about 70 pounds, you know. And I didn't feel anything then. I didn't feel anything the next day when I was off. But the day after that, when I had to go to work, I couldn't get out of bed. And so I went to one doctor and got an MRI, and then it was doctors and, you know, physical therapists and so forth and so on. The end of the year, this happened in January, the end of the year, I went out to the one local pharmacy and asked for a list of my prescriptions for the year for taxes. And I had been written prescriptions by 22 different doctors that year. And I didn't even remember all of them. In fact, that year I didn't even remember me, pretty much. And when I finally got myself together enough to just say, I ain't going to take this anymore, and started cutting out all these different crazy things. I mean, I had one fella giving me 85 milligrams of amphetamine a day, and another one giving me Percodans.
Yeah.
You know, we used to call them sets back in the 60s, and they cost extra, you know. Now they just shovel them at you. Well, when I got back enough to recognize who I was and trying to figure out what was going on, I found out my broker put me into a margin account, and I was heavily leveraged into MCI WorldCom. And it was about 4 days later that they let him away in handcuffs.
Oh,
I'd paid $42 a share and got 3 cents a share back.
Did you get your money back in a suit or anything like that?
No, I'm in one of those class action suits, but I've been in a number of them and never seen a dime.
How much did you lose?
$450,000, my entire life savings and my beach house.
Oh, my God. But you're still fighting back.
Well, it's the greatest free roller coaster ride in the universe, George.
It sure is. Well, keep listening, and thanks for the stories.
I tell you, I sure do enjoy your program an awful lot.
Well, let me tell you, you're a shining light out there.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, a little prayer my way wouldn't hurt, you know. Next time you get people together, because I've just been evicted again.
The minute you say it, you're in the lot, so you're there. Thanks.
You got it. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye. Can you imagine that? His whole life savings just gone. Poof.